Public radio is here for you. It doesn't matter how old you are, how big your home is, or what kind of car you drive. WOSU and NPR connect you to news and information in civil conversations. That's why 43 million Americans listen to NPR each week. WOSU is part of our community, covering and discussing issues important to you, standing with the facts. Meet the moment with WOSU. Go to WOSU.org/protect.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. A federal climate law from 2022 spurred the announcement of more than $7 billion in clean energy projects for Ohio. With a promise of thousands of jobs, making the state among the top beneficiaries of the legislation. Now Congress has voted to end or phase out certain tax credits and other lucrative financial incentives that could slow down that momentum. A number of Ohio companies invested in solar and hydrogen projects and wonder about their future, their workforce, and what comes next. Now several companies and the Ohio Chamber of Commerce are calling for the tax credits and other clean energy provisions to remain. Here to catch us up on the news, we have Kathy Ann Kowalski, a contributing writer for Canary Media. She wrote an article titled, "Will Congress Pull the Plug on Ohio's Clean Energy Momentum?" Welcome to All Sides, Kathy Ann.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
And also with us, we have Cynthia Bent Finley, a contributing writer for Columbus CEO, who has written about local clean energy companies. Welcome to All Sides, Cynthia.
Hi, thanks. It's great to be here.
Kathy, let's start with you. The 2022 law I referred to is also known as the Inflation Reduction Act, sometimes called the Build Back Better bill, for a lack of bees. It was passed by the Biden administration. What did that set into motion when it came to clean energy in Ohio?
It provided for increasing a variety of tax credits for clean energy projects, so that in addition to a 30% credit that you could have before, you could get multipliers for building in distressed areas or areas that had been left behind by a move away from coal, if they were in low income areas and things like that. So those credits could go as high as 70%, and they would be for solar, wind, various battery projects. There were credits now for electric vehicles. There were a variety of hydrogen credits that were added and so forth. So it really was giving a big boost to clean energy. And the idea behind it was this would not only address climate change issues, but it would add a lot of jobs, bring a lot of manufacturing back into the United States. And that's somewhat what was happening as a result.
Now, we should probably back up and, like, what is considered clean energy? Can you define it?
When I'm talking about it, I mean things that are not releasing greenhouse gas emissions as they are operating. So solar, wind, geothermal, hydropower, things like that. Hydrogen, once it is working as hydrogen, is not releasing greenhouse gas emissions. Whether it releases those when you're trying to make the hydrogen depends on what you're using and the method you're using to do it.
Okay. Now, when it comes to these clean energy jobs in Ohio, roughly how many were created as a part of this 2022 law? I know it's hard to actually like wrap your head around job numbers sometimes, but you know, there were more jobs even expected to come to the state. This idea of solar power and hydrogen and other clean energy industries were expected to grow. Do we have an idea of the number of jobs?
There's a group called E2, which is a nonprofit business group that looks at clean energy issues. And they had found about $7 billion of investments coming into Ohio since the Inflation Reduction Act was passed, and those are announced projects. And they estimated that there were about 5,000 announced jobs tied to those projects. And when I say announced, some of those were already put into place. Some of those were in process. Some of those were gearing up to get ready, but then we had the current administration come in and some grants were yanked, some were put in limbo, And some people just don't know what's going on.
We'll talk more about those cuts and the ending of these tax credits in just a second. But Cynthia, I want to bring you into the conversation here. You write for Columbus CEO, and you've been writing about these jobs. Can you tell me what type of jobs we're talking about in the clean energy sector? Just give me an example of added jobs.
Well, there's a slew of them, depending on what type of energy we're talking about. There are tons of solar companies that are working in Ohio to install and design solar installations, whether they be for homeowners or large scale. However, one of the largest solar panel makers in North America, actually, Illuminate USA, they're in Pataskala. They have been working they started production in February 2024, and they've already created more than 1,500 jobs just making their solar panels there in Pataskala. And that's just the solar field. They're also, I want to take a little step back, the bipartisan infrastructure law set in motion a plan to create hydrogen hubs all over the country. And Ohio was going to be the home for one of those national hubs. And Battelle has been involved in that. And so there's a ton of clean energy jobs focused at Battelle. Of course, they're doing research in almost every energy field. And we've also got then, of course, Honda with their, you know, their new battery
EV vehicles, yeah.
EV vehicles, both the CRV, electric CRV is being made at Marysville, and then there's a brand new battery factory, I think, that you guys have been talking about, research and development and production, that is planned. I'm trying to remember how many jobs we're talking about there. You know, and then there's mid-sized and smaller companies all over the state, and specifically in Central Ohio, too. 4C Power, for example, they chose Hilliard as its North American headquarters. They're committed to hiring 150 employees with over $9 million in payroll right in Hilliard coming up. Mm-hmm. There's companies just being attracted to Central Ohio because of the research and development coming here and because of the promise that the industry is holding because of the good start we've already gotten in several fields.
Now, Kathy, the reason that we're talking about this is because Congress is ending some of these tax credits and some of other clean energy provisions, some of the incentives to build these businesses. So everything that Cynthia just mentioned, they either got a tax credit or there is an incentive to expand their business, and that's what they were kind of using between 2022 and now. Why is Congress ending some of these provisions, Kathy?
There are a variety of reasons one can give. I don't profess to know what's in their hearts and minds, but one of the things that we see is there are a lot of preferences being given to fossil fuels. When we read Project 2025 last summer, they clearly said they wanted to boost fossil fuels in the United States and get rid of provisions from the Inflation Reduction Act. So, I mean, this is part of the playbook we saw, and this is fulfilling that. The question is it shooting shooting red states in the foot or?
Well, yes, you're asking if it's killing the momentum that we had, because that's the title of your article asks if it's going to kill Ohio's momentum. And Cynthia, in late June, a number of companies, including the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, called for the tax credits and other clean energy provisions to remain. So it's not just private companies that are impacted, but also local governments could be affected, too. What do you make of the groups that have come together to try to keep some of these clean energy provisions? They're trying to help Ohio, right?
Yeah, I think it's very reflective of the public-private partnerships which have sprung up that could be quite powerful, helping everything from rural communities. Stark County has a program of a fleet of fuel cell buses and has for some time, and they are in the process of transforming those buses from using blue hydrogen or gray hydrogen, I think it's called, hydrogen that you produce by using natural gas, mm-hmm. to green hydrogen powered by all renewables. And they were going to be the beneficiary of some tax credits that would, and I think those are actually still in the end bill, but some tax credits that would give them a big discount on using hydrogen as fuel. COTA has just bought a bunch of, or is planning to buy 10 fuel cell buses. There are companies like Bloom Energy, a large national fuel cell company, Plug Power, AEP. They're all doing demonstration clean power projects with local governments all over the state in Columbus and Central Ohio and beyond. And they all see this as a promise that was given to them by the federal government that, hey, we're gonna try to make this work. We're going to continue the success that we have had in building clean energy technology and getting that price down to really very close to or even below, in some cases, the cost of coal, the cost of gas, and help localize energy sources for companies and governments all over the state. And they would like to see that continue.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about clean energy and the possible end of tax credits and other provisions with journalists Kathy Ann Kowalski of Canary Media and Cynthia Bent Finley with Columbus CEO. Now, Kathy, Tony Long is with the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, and he lobbied for these incentives to be restored. Both Ohio Senators John Husted and Senator Bernie Moreno both voted for the federal budget bill that removed some of these provisions. What, if anything, have they said? Have you seen anything with Senator Husted or Senator Moreno talking about clean energy in the state of Ohio and economic development here?
I mean, first, when I've talked with Tony Long, the Ohio Chamber has kind of an all-of-the-above approach, which they mean is a genuine all-of-the-above approach. And Tony said, you know, when we want to attract business to Ohio, it's going to need energy. We need to have energy. And so they want as much to come online as possible. Husted and Moreno's office has not answered questions directly about these provisions prior to the Senate vote. Husted had been making some sounds that sounded somewhat sympathetic. I know in late 2023, I was at the opening of a fast charger facility at Lincoln Electric up here in Northeast Ohio, and John Husted was there cheering on innovation, you know, and fast chargers for electric vehicles. If you take away the tax credit, that means there's less of a market for electric vehicles, less of a market for those chargers, right? So there's kind of this disconnect between, as Lieutenant Governor, having cheered for a lot of these things and now having voted against these tax credits and incentives.
We did invite Senator Husted on the show today, but his office said he was unavailable. But Cynthia, what have you seen, you know, related to what Kathy was just saying? As Lieutenant Governor, John Husted did have this all of the above approach and wanted to boost lots of industries. But basically, he wasn't going to vote against Trump's bill. Is that what it came down to?
Again, I can't speak for, and I haven't been able to speak to his office, but I do know in talking to some companies and some economic development folks around the region that they were able to talk to Senator Husted's office. They weren't just making a public plea. They were talking to the senator's office. And I think your guest that you've got coming on a little bit later can talk a little bit about their experience. Mm-hmm. I believe Senator Husted did stand up for certain portions of the tax credits. It's a very complicated bill, and it's a very complicated scheme with that was set in action, you know, a long time ago with the bipartisan infrastructure law. And I think he did respond to them with getting some of the provisions not sunsetted as quickly as were called for. There were some other credits for hydrogen that were in, that were out, that were in. Mm-hmm. I have heard he has is listening and has been responding to them. And there were some changes made between the press conference that took place in June and the final bill.
Do either of you know if state lawmakers have been receptive? Because if some of the federal tax credits have been taken away, can the state give some credits? You're chuckling. I don't know. That doesn't mean no.
The state citing provisions have recently been revised to speed up getting energy generation online of all types, and it applies across the board. However, there are provisions put in place in Ohio under a 2021 law that add extra hurdles for getting solar or wind projects to get permission to build, to get online, and a number of delays that can take place there. So in Ohio right now, if you want to build a natural gas plant, it will take you maybe 5 years to do that once you get your permit, but that's easier to do because you have less hurdles. In contrast, if you want to build a solar farm, you have to pass some hurdles. You have to get some local approvals first. There's a number of counties that can ban this. So there are different standards. It's not a level playing field.
Yeah, Kathy was just talking about solar projects. And Cynthia, you wrote about the hydrogen industry as well. We're going to be talking with an executive with a hydrogen company in just a few minutes. But do you think that this means a slowdown for the U.S.'s efforts when it comes to hydrogen? You said that Ohio was supposed to be a hydrogen hub, right?
I have heard that there, as far as hydrogen goes, some of the tax credits, actually, I'll let Alex speak to that from Power to Hydrogen. But I believe that they're thinking that some of the sunsetting earlier will actually spur some more investment to come on sooner, actually, rather than people sitting on their hands and waiting to see what happened. Mm. I talked to a really fascinating company called Coloma that is into extracting clean hydrogen from rock that still sees promise, but they're going to be a global company. Mm-hmm. They have investors, United Airlines and a bunch of other really heavy hitters from all over the globe, and they're going to be doing exploration all over the globe. They're saying, and what others in the industry are saying, is that we're going to miss out as a country as China and as Nordic companies really exploit hydrogen, for example. If we miss the boat on this, we're missing a chance for Ohio companies to get in on manufacturing a lot of that clean energy technology and equipment that, you know, other companies around the world are going to take advantage of.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. You've been listening to Cynthia Bent Finley, a contributing writer for Columbus CEO, who has written about local clean energy companies. Thank you for being here, Cynthia.
Thank you.
And we've also been speaking with Kathy Ann Kowalski, a contributing writer for Canary Media, who wrote the article, "Will Congress Pull the Plug on Ohio's Clean Energy Momentum?" Thanks for being with us today, Kathy.
Glad to be here, Amy. Thank you.
And coming up, we're going to talk with a Columbus-based startup at the forefront of the clean energy movement. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Water electrolysis is the process of using electricity to split water molecules to produce hydrogen. This hydrogen can be used to power forklifts and hopefully new cars in the future. And Ohio is looking to become a manufacturing hub for the industry. But that momentum could be disrupted if Congress ends tax credits and other clean energy initiatives from the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Joining us now is Alex Zorninger, the Chief Commercial Officer for Power to Hydrogen in Columbus. Welcome to All Sides, Alex.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Well, to start, tell us about your company. What does Power to Hydrogen do?
You had a good explanation for it. So we make a machine that makes hydrogen with zero emissions out of water and renewable electricity. And so the existing machines today that do that, there's one type of technology that is fairly low cost, but it needs to use grid power rather than wind and solar, which sometimes has carbon emissions with it itself. And then there's another type of technology that can use wind and solar, but it needs really expensive materials like platinum and iridium and titanium. So it's far too expensive. So we have a technology that's very low cost, only needs things like iron and stainless steel, but can make the hydrogen directly from wind and solar and water. So zero emissions along the whole value chain.
And the example I used is that these fuel cells currently you can power a forklift, but the hope is more than that. How is it going to make its way to the car industry?
Yeah, so there's a variety of applications. So fuel cells, absolutely, they make electricity using hydrogen. So it's an alternative to a battery electric vehicle. But so we actually make the hydrogen where a variety of industrial processes across the globe need hydrogen. And all of this hydrogen today comes from natural gas and has massive CO2 emissions. So things like when we make fertilizers for all of our crops or when we make chemicals to go into our athletic shoes and things like that, they need hydrogen. And so that hydrogen production today has 2-3% of global CO2 emissions. And so certainly we can power cars and semi-trucks with hydrogen, but we can also decarbonize a lot of industrial processes.
So hydrogen is kind of like an interesting one where it is clean energy, but it also can be dirty too. Is that...
It's similar to electricity. Yeah. You know, you can make it with wind and solar, or you can make it by burning coal. Mm. So it's got that same, you can make it in different ways using either fossil fuels or with renewable electricity or with wind and solar.
Okay. So where in terms of cost, where does hydrogen stand compared to like gasoline if we're talking about powering a car someday?
So I would say on the gasoline front, we can make hydrogen, you know, at a local refueling station for probably 20-30% more. One of the challenges in the hydrogen industry is because it's a gas, it's a little bit harder to transport. So because there are no pipelines today, like there are for natural gas, you know, it's harder to transport than just, you know, taking a tanker trailer with gasoline to the station. So we can produce it for a pretty cost-effective price, but the whole logistics and infrastructure for hydrogen, if we want to have this zero carbon fuel, we needed to continue to invest in it.
So let's talk about Ohio's role in the manufacturing side of this business, because we just talked with Cynthia with Columbus CEO. She's interviewed you saying that Columbus was not Columbus, but Ohio is trying to be a big player in the future of clean energy and hydrogen. Is that happening right now?
I think there's a few different ways that Ohio can be a really big player in this. So number one, so when you look at a lot of these advanced energy technologies, whether it's wind or solar or batteries or hydrogen, a lot of it where our traditional energy sources come from the ground. So there's jobs with, you know, pumping that and making that into certain fuels. The jobs that are related to these advanced energies are really manufacturing jobs. So instead of like being at the oil field, it is, you know, manufacturing facilities potentially in Ohio that are making these batteries, like GM's Ultium Fuels, or I think it's the Ultium Battery Factory. So they're good, high-paying jobs that were in, you know, previous industries before that can really provide a lot of economic opportunity for the state. And you see some of this investment. But the challenge, I would say, is that when there's inconsistent policy, you know, these factories that we are to build are, you know, $100 million to billion-dollar assets. And when policy is moving all over the map, it's hard to make those very large investments. So I think it can be a really big power for the Ohio economy, just like, you know, vehicles have been and the automotive value chain has been. But we need to continue to move in a consistent direction in order for companies to make investments in it.
So there were tax credits, for energy tax credits. There were provisions to make it to entice clean energy to build itself up. Did Power to Hydrogen, your company, benefit from those tax credits that date back to 2022?
Mm-hmm. So there was a few different ways that funding was allocated. Some of it was just in research and development funding. So we received some funding from the Department of Energy to scale up our manufacturing process. And so with that funding, we've been able to hire some local talent, some entry-level engineers from the, you know, Ohio State area and things like that. But we've also been able to recruit talent from the coast. So hiring people from California and New York to come to Ohio to help us scale up this manufacturing process and be able to build these systems. So that's on just like funding in order for us to continue to grow as a company and develop these jobs. The tax credits. So what happened is specifically with hydrogen is that they were initially launched in 2022, and then it took like a 2-year rulemaking process before they were finalized. So that took us to 2024. Mm. And then once the Trump administration came in, it kind of reworked all of the rules. So it's been a lot of lack of clarity over the past 3 years. With this most recent budget bill, there finally is a little bit more clarity. So what it's come to is that these clean energy production tax credits will be available as long as you start production on your hydrogen project before 2028. So we will be able to benefit from them. Previously, it was through 2033, but I actually think it will push the industry to move a bit faster in order to be able to access these economic opportunities before 2028.
Okay, so everything in President Trump's so-called big, beautiful bill wasn't all doom and gloom for you. There is still something in there to help.
It's very interesting. So most of the things from the IRA as far as incentivizing, you know, new energy forms or clean energy.
The IRA is Biden's bill. That's what you're talking about, right?
Correct. Yeah, Inflation Reduction Act in 2022. Most of that gave you like a 10-year time frame. Mm-hmm. So you could build your project through probably 2032. What Trump's team did is mainly scaled back that time frame, where you have to either start construction for hydrogen, start construction before 2028, or for wind and solar, finish construction before 2028. So I think it will actually push a lot of these new advanced and clean energies faster to get their projects that are already in the pipeline into the ground. And then you'll probably have another year, 2028, of lack of clarity for what do we do next. There are certainly elections before then that aren't presidential elections that could shape kind of what the next phase is. But I would say the long term is certainly less secure, but the next 2 or 3 years are certainly not doom and gloom. But it is going to make everyone move quicker, and 2028 is certainly very uncertain.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the future of clean energy with Alex Zorninger, Chief Commercial Officer for Power to Hydrogen here in Columbus. On a recent podcast, you also talked about Illuminate USA. They produce high-quality solar panels here in the U.S., and they have a company in Pataskala. Can you tell me more about that company and what these changes might mean for solar panels? I mean, I know that's not your company, but it's kind of like in the same vein of the same things happening.
It certainly is very interesting. I'm not a perfect expert on their situation, but what you saw after the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act is a lot of global companies trying to site production in the U.S. in order to access the U.S. sales and the U.S. investment in these new energy technologies. Some of that, a significant amount, has been scaled back, or at least they're attempting to. So you're seeing, I'm not sure Illuminate's exact situation, but because of some of the policy changes, there may be less demand in the U.S. for these technologies. So I think it's a tough situation for those companies. There are also, if these have been similar in batteries and now they've been implemented with wind and solar as well, some foreign production requirements where there are certain nations, I believe China is one of them, where if you get some of your solar panels or your batteries from China, you won't be able to access certain credits. And so I think that it is going to continue to incentivize people to come to the U.S., but I think the demand is more unclear. So I'd be curious to hear what Illuminate would have to say on it. But I think, again, they spent, I don't know what their factory cost, but hundreds of millions to billions of dollars to build this massive solar factory in central Ohio. And now I would say the demand is uncertain because of a lot of these shifting landscapes and what we're prioritizing and what we're incentivizing. So I think it's challenging for these companies that maybe made a bold investment, but what does that look like now that things have changed?
Let's talk globally for a minute. So your company, Power to Hydrogen, where do you fit in the global scheme? Are other countries doing more with hydrogen than the U.S.? Are we behind?
What I would say for other countries, we certainly see a lot of demand in Europe for the technology. With hydrogen, just like we talked about earlier, you can make it in a few different ways. So you can make it with natural gas. You can also capture the CO2 from a natural gas process. So typically they don't capture the CO2, but if you can make hydrogen from natural gas, capture the CO2, and then you still have low or no emission hydrogen. So the US has been prioritizing some of that. That's what you would call blue hydrogen. That is the natural gas with carbon capture. Europe has a lot less natural gas. And in certain parts of Europe, they have really great renewables. In kind of central and northern Europe, they have great wind. And then in, you know, areas like Spain and Portugal, they have great solar. And so they're prioritizing more making the hydrogen from water and renewable electricity. So Europe is certainly, I would say, moving faster with these electrolyzers where you make hydrogen from water and electricity. The US still certainly has some activity, but I would say Europe's moving faster. China is certainly moving very fast on this technology. And I think that's one thing we always have to consider and be concerned about is some of that policy from the 2022 bill, I really would say is industrial policy. Like we really want to make and manufacture all different types of energy technologies in the US. And if you allow other countries to push that forward, you know, you're going to lose a variety of things, even national security things, as far as where we make our energy and being relying on different foreign supply chains. So I would say that with this most recent bill, other areas of the world are probably pursuing some of these advanced energy technologies a little bit more aggressively. So we have to be very cautious about that in the US because we always want to have security over our energy supply chain and a really strong energy supply chain, because I think they say in a lot of different areas, energy is wealth.
How many employees does your company have?
We have about 30 employees right now.
30? And did you expand at all from the tax credits? And go ahead.
So we've gone close to double in the last year and a half, probably like 18 in 2023, and now we're at 30, rough numbers. So we see the opportunity to continue to expand. But, you know, as we've talked about, if you're going to make further investments, you would like stability in, you know, what the landscape is going to look like in the future.
And if you have to move faster and get things done before 2028, do you have the room? Do you have the money to expand past your 30 employees?
Yeah, I would say so. Some of that will be driven by revenue as well. Like, you know, we don't want everything driven by subsidies. So as we continue to generate new sales and interest in the technology, that will also drive us to be able to hire new employees. So we definitely are going to plan to continue to grow. However, some of that might be sales to Europe. So making the electrolyzers here and exporting them to Europe, which is not all bad for the US economy. But, you know, we want to be pushing forward all forms of clean and advanced energy in the US as well.
I asked one of the reporters I had on earlier about state lawmakers and what Ohio mm-hmm. lawmakers are thinking about clean energy. And she kind of chuckled and just said that they would say that they support it, but they're also going to approve a natural gas plant much faster than they would approve a new hydrogen plant. Would you agree with that?
It is challenging. Like the letter of the law and some of the details tend to make it difficult for some of these things. I think you haven't seen that as much with electrolysis, but with wind and solar, there are certainly a lot of ways to slow things down. So I would say certainly there are state policies other than Ohio that are more supportive to these newer energy technologies. I think there's just the way you write it, you can say that you're supportive of clean energy, but then there's lots of ways to slow something down in another permitting process. And I think that's one of the goals of a lot of Republican and, you know, Trump administration officials is to make permitting faster. So I think that is something that a lot of people can probably commonly agree upon is how do we get these new clean energy technologies out there faster?
And are you pretty committed to Columbus and Ohio? I mean, you would probably have more support if you went to a different state.
That's a good question. I think the one thing for Ohio is they are very positive on manufacturing. So they want to support us as a manufacturer. Will we install these electrolyzers for hydrogen generation projects in Ohio? I get that. That might be better in another state. But Ohio still is supportive. They would love us to continue to scale up manufacturing of these systems in Ohio. So we'll see where it goes. But definitely on the project development side of wind, solar, and hydrogen projects, you don't have as many of those in Ohio.
Yeah. And I guess whenever you said you had 30 employees, I was kind of expecting you to say more, because whenever we were talking about all these credits, they talked about $7 billion and thousands of jobs coming to Ohio. So, there is room to grow. I guess just you're still a small company.
Exactly. So we're a startup company. And
Yeah.
so we've been, founded with a lot of different PhDs from Ohio State University. When you look for one of those larger players, I think that's definitely that Illuminate Solar that built a 5 gigawatt solar panel factory in Pataskala that was had to be $1 billion or $2 billion. So that's a very good example of it. Power to Hydrogen, we were founded in 2019 with some funding from NASA. And so we're continuing to scale up, but we're definitely earlier in our growth process.
Yes. All right. Well, good luck as you continue that growth process. Will you keep us
Thanks, Amy.
updated?
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
I want to say thank you to Alex Zorninger, the Chief Commercial Officer for Power to Hydrogen in Columbus. Alex, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks. Bye.
And coming up, we're going to take a look at a national look at clean energy. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. As we continue our discussion on clean energy, we're going to turn to a topic that is often overlooked in this field: small businesses. The Clean Energy Business Network is an organization that spans all 50 states and acts as a voice for small businesses, hoping to open doors for the clean energy in this sector through public policy, as well as the development of business and technology. Joining us now is the president of the Clean Energy Business Network, Lynn Abramson. Welcome to All Sides, Lynn.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much for having me today.
So your organization organized a press conference in late June here in Ohio, and you wanted to draw attention to the clean energy industry and what it would lose if Congress approved the so-called Big Beautiful Bill. Did you hold similar press conferences in other states, or was there a reason that you had one here in Ohio?
Yes. Actually, we've been reaching out to media, national media, state-level media. In particular, we were targeting states where there were very influential members of Congress on the Republican side whose votes and influence would be very important to the shaping of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act.
So you were reaching out because now Senator Husted, but former Lieutenant Governor Husted, he supported the clean energy industry as Lieutenant Governor, but then as Senator, he did end up voting for the Big Beautiful Bill. Is that were you kind of like looking to him to maybe vote against those parts of it?
We recognize that the legislation had so many different components outside of the energy industry, but we were counting on Senator Husted and a number of other very influential voices to try to shape the energy provisions and make them as strong as possible. And specifically, we were trying to push back on the proposed repeal and rollbacks of several energy credits that have generated billions in dollars of private sector investment in the United States to help modernize our energy technologies and infrastructure.
How would you rank Ohio's clean energy industry compared to other states in terms of the projects in the companies here?
Yes, no, that's a great question. Honestly, it's benefited quite it. So every state is a little bit different, but I think from Ohio's perspective, you have this really strong incumbent manufacturing industry, excellent solar and wind potential, a lot of technology such as combined heat and power, waste heat to power that can be employed in heavy industry, hydrogen innovation. It's really quite a diverse energy sector. And so we were seeing significant investment arising from the tax credits that have been in place historically. And we are projecting that some of that will be decreased in the wake of some of the rollbacks we've seen in the energy tax credits.
We just talked with an executive with a hydrogen company here in Columbus, and he was saying that they still are getting some of the tax credits, but they might have to move a little bit faster in order to meet deadlines. And they won't know what things look like in 2028 just because of how some of it works. But he also said that some of what he's producing here, he might end up having to sell to Europe rather than keep it here in the United States. Do you feel like the United States is kind of taking a step back in clean energy with some of the provisions in the Big Beautiful Bill?
Yes. So we were pleased that the final outcome was an improvement over some of the earlier iterations of the proposals that we had seen. This legislation went through many different iterations in the House and the Senate. There were some earlier drafts that would have repealed a number of energy tax credits as soon as this year. At the end of the day, it's kind of a mixed bag. But what we do see is that some industries, such as geothermal, hydro storage, were left relatively unscathed. And hydrogen was one that really there was a lot of debate because a lot of members of Congress on both sides of the aisle see the value of investing in that technology area. It's, an opportunity for growth in the United States. I know the natural gas companies are very interested in exploring that as a fuel source that they can make a commodity in the United States. But other credits, unfortunately, were hard hit. So solar and wind essentially now only have 1 year to begin construction in order to qualify for some of the safe harbor rules for the credits. And that's cutting about 6.5 years over the previous runway. And I just want to remind folks that these are not new credits we are just enacting. The previous baseline law was that they had an additional 6.5 years to qualify for these credits. So we actually rolled back what businesses, investors, industry was counting on. And that is definitely a depressing signal for a lot of projects. And also for some of the consumer-facing credits, so residential energy efficiency, residential solar, electric vehicles, new energy-efficient homes. A lot of those credits are going to be repealed at the end of this year or mid next year. So we are projecting, we've seen a variety of different industry analyses, and it looks like there's going to be likely a rise in household energy costs across the United States, ranging anywhere from $170 to $280 per year as of 2035. And specifically in Ohio, the Energy Innovation Po Policy and Technology Council has estimated that we will see a rise in energy bills by $190 as of 2035.
Your organization and the Ohio Chamber of Commerce and others did work to try to restore some of these credits and other incentives that you talked about. So basically, you had your press conference and the Ohio Chamber of Commerce is there. And so it's Ohio, parts of Ohio were seeing this as keeping these incentives was good for Ohio business. Would you agree that there are parts of Ohio that wanted to keep this clean energy momentum going?
Absolutely. And I would say that actually a lot of these tax incentives and the overall diversification of the energy economy have enjoyed a history of bipartisan support. Prior to 2022, where we did see a sort of party line expansion of the tax credits under Democrats, before that, the largest expansion and extension of the tax credits was in 2017 under President Trump's leadership. And we've seen a lot of bipartisan champions calling for creation of new credits over the past few decades, the extension of these credits. And in that press conference that you're referencing, we had a number of Republican mayors speaking about how these investments have benefited their communities. And we're seeing jobs and new businesses being created everywhere from the small businesses that I work with all the way through major corporations and manufacturers. And honestly, we need to be building new energy capacity in this country. We have rising demand from onshoring of manufacturing, increase in AI and data centers, growing population, we really do need to build more energy. And some of the fastest deploy assets are things like wind and solar. So frankly, I think we're seeing in a lot of communities across the nation just support for allowing that those types of capacity decisions and the economic impacts that they generate to be realized and those benefits to be realized.
Another organization that was involved is the Ohio Conservative Energy Forum, and mm-hmm. their tagline is, yes, Ohio conservatives support clean energy solutions. So what can you tell us about their position when it comes to clean energy in the state?
Yeah, well, they would have to speak on behalf of themselves, but just from the partnership and working with them, as well as a number of other conservative organizations we have worked with over the years, is that clean energy is good for business, and we shouldn't be taking solutions off the table. I think a lot of the opportunity for generating new technology investments, for getting projects built and putting them in the ground, generating jobs and investment, new taxpayer revenues, that's good for business. And those are conservative values. And I would even say, you know, some of the messaging we have seen from President Trump in his current administration and from a lot of Republican members of Congress is that we need to be bringing more manufacturing back to the United States, and we need to be building more energy rapidly. And so I think that these industries, some of these clean energy industries, are really consistent with those values. Unfortunately, we have seen specific technologies be politicized, but they shouldn't be. Really, these should be nonpartisan issues.
And we did invite the Ohio Conservative Energy Forum to be on the show today, but we didn't hear back. Now, I wanted to lean into this idea of small businesses again, because the Clean Energy Business Network that you work for, you know, focuses in on small businesses. When I think of energy policy and I think of making energy, I don't think small. I think like big plants or something like that. But it really, I learned in the last segment, you know, Power to Hydrogen here in Columbus has 30 employees. They're a small business. So does this start small and then move to a larger scale? Why is that?
That's a great question. And I would say that it really depends. So our network, It's a nationwide nonprofit organization, and we span more than 8,200 small business and community leaders, present in all 50 states, more than 400 congressional districts, and pretty much every imaginable energy technology. And I think that their geographic and technology coverage just shows how diverse this industry is. We have members that are working in alternative fuels, carbon sequestration, efficiency, combined heat and power, vehicle technologies, solar, wind, geothermal, hydrogen, just the whole gamut. And some of the companies are, Alex's company, more of a startup, but now in a successful growth stage. Some are earlier stage companies that have a technology innovation that they are deploying and working to scale. And some are, you know, small manufacturers or installers of these technologies or financiers of these technologies. So, Ecogen is a good example of a company in Ohio that has kind of reached a pretty mature stage. You know, it was an earlier stage company, but has reached maturity, and they're doing waste heat to power and storage. And some of these companies, they don't really need to grow that large. They may be manufacturing components or working with various supply chain partners, and they themselves don't have to be huge. We also see companies, another one that was Al Fraz's company. He used to be with Dovetail Solar and Wind. They're smaller companies. They're installing residential or commercial solar. They don't need to be extremely large. You can do this with dozens to hundreds of employees. And we've even seen companies that are project developers that are pulling together multiple partners and doing very large deals, mm-hmm. On the order of hundreds of megawatts, utility scale deals with a large amount of investment. But the firm itself is pulling together the construction partners and the financiers and the technology partners. So it's quite surprising when you look at these small businesses. These are not necessarily Main Street mom and pop businesses. They're doing just about everything in the energy industry.
We have less than a minute left, but from having this conversation, I'm less worried about the future of hydrogen now, but more worried about the future of solar and wind in Ohio. So, do you agree with that summary?
Yes, and I would say I still think that all of these clean energy industries are the growth industries of the energy economy. We've seen a lot of investment globally and rising demand for these technologies, but we are going to see a depressing effect from this re legislation. And it is projected that we will see a decrease in generation capacity in Ohio by 14 gigawatts in 2035. And a lot of that will come from some of these industries like solar and wind that have been hard hit.
I want to thank you for your time. We've been talking with Lynn Abramson, the president of the Clean Energy Business Network. Thank you for joining us, Lynn.
Thank you so much, Amy.
And this has been All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jarovich. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen anytime at our website. That's wosu.org/allsides. Subscribe to our podcast. And every episode is available in our mobile app. This is 89.7 NPR News.